So the Mishnah says at the end of Tainis, Misha Nichnas Av Mim'atim Besimcha. When the month of Av enters, we minimize our joy. Not that we can't have any joy, we minimize it. In contrast to Purim, Misha Nichnas Adar Marbim Besimcha. As opposed to Purim, where we increase our joy. So even though the Mishnah doesn't mention wine and meat, but that was the custom for the Ashkenaz during the 9 days, and this week even many Svardim, the week of Tisha B'Av, they take on not the custom of not having meat and wine. And the question is, we all know, however, for a Sudas Mitzvah, one is permitted to have meat and wine, i.e. Shabbos, if you have a bris mila, a suda, and a siyam, you finish a masechta. So you have different sudas mitzvah. So then the assumption is the rabbi, it's only a rabbinic institution. The rabbis would not institute it in b'maka mitzvah. So therefore the regular rule applies. So that's straightforward. The question is as follows. Let's say yesterday you made food for Shabbos, and believe it or not, you have a bunch of leftovers. So I know I can't go out to the barbecue and make new food, but could I eat my leftover foods? And not just for Shabbos, but let's say I had a siyum yesterday. So I made food for a siyum, and now I have leftover hamburgers and hot dogs, leftover ribs, leftover wings. Am I permitted to eat the leftovers? So of course you're wondering, why would I think you can eat the leftovers? Like why would one even attempt to, why would leftovers be different than making it fresh? Unless of course one would say, because maybe you don't get so much pleasure from leftovers. 21st century, no one eats leftovers. So maybe it's like, maybe it's sour for them. Maybe it's distress. You're forced to eat the leftovers. Perhaps that, but let's go see if we can come up with another reason. I will give you I'll give you another reason why I like, why one could eat leftovers. It doesn't apply so much today, but I liked the logic years ago, before we had the freezers and the refrigerators, because now we could just store it. But what was the concern originally? Because what's...
Spoilage.
Correct. Besides that, there'll be another issue. The issue is, but definitely spoilage is, Jews were afflicted with poverty. They didn't live in affluent North America. So therefore, they didn't have a lot of food. So what was the concern besides spoiling, but another concern? You know what? If I know that I can't eat my leftovers, I'm going to have to throw them out. So you know what? I'm going to be very careful. I'm going to skimp on my food. Because, okay, I'll make sure. I'm going to make a little less because I don't want to deal with the leftovers. It wasn't let me just go back to explain how it was in Europe. Today we have a meat meal. No one wants to have carbs. Just give me all the ribs. Give me the meat. You barely, unless it's Shabbos or something, you never want to eat bread. That's how a lot of people are. But back in the day, bread was the meat. What do you mean a meat meal? They used to take a little like fleisch, put a little drop on like a meat sauce and put it on the bread. And that was a meat meal then, to give you some perspective. So it wasn't a meat meal like today we call a meat meal. It was basically the same meal, except instead of throwing a little milk on it, they threw a drop of meat on it or something along. So the bottom line is people didn't have a lot of money. And the concern was that, so what's going to happen? They're not going to make enough food. So what's going to end up happening? Bittul Oneg Shabbos is a much more important mitzvah. Not to me, important meaning it's from the words of the prophets. It's rabbinical. It's only a custom not to have meat during the 9 days. A lower level restriction. It's a higher level obligation to be mizaneg in your Shabbos. So the concern was, if I tell you you can't eat the leftovers, then you're not going to make, you'll say, I'm not going to make any food, or I'll make a little, and I'll get by the Shabbos without meat. No. So you'll end up being mevatel your mitzvah of oneg. So So some Mepharshim were concerned about that, so they said, don't worry, make whatever you need to, and if there are any leftovers, you can eat them. That was the concern of Bittul Oneg Shabbos. So I like that Svara. Today it wouldn't apply so much because we have fridges and freezers. Yeah, Jeff. So exactly, so what Jeff is saying would be exactly the reason why we'd say today you can't eat leftovers. Based on this logic, if the whole logic why, so when the Jews were afflicted with poverty, had very little meat, and the concern was they're not going to make any meat or make very little, so therefore the rabbis were concerned and said, no, don't worry, eat leftovers, and you don't have to. So today, as Jeff is making an observation, it should be the opposite. Today we have, today it's not a concern because we have refrigerator freezers. We have people throw out stuff all the time, unfortunately. So the people say, great, I'll make a whole week's worth of food and I'll always eat meat during, right. So therefore today, based on that logic, we would say you can eat leftovers. That, so then it would come out to, it depends on the times. It depends, yeah. That's one possibility why you would be permitted. And even if that was true, it won't really prove. The logic wouldn't apply to today. In fact, one can make the logic that you shouldn't because people will make more. Just like there's a discussion, could you go ahead and hold off and make a siyum, especially for the 9 days? Like, everyone agrees, if you're learning normally, and today I finished Masechta, so of course I make a siyum. In fact, I should. But the question is, let's say I finished it 2 weeks ago. You know what? It's 2 weeks before the 9 days. I think I'll learn a little. Maybe I'll forget to learn the Gemara for the next 2 weeks. I'll leave the last one. So that there are different opinions on, is it better to have a siyum or a siyum is a dispensation? You're better off not having it, but if you have it, so that gets into, how far do you go? Like, who could you include? So that gets into that issue. Like, are you allowed to invite the whole community? Is it has to be the only people who you would ordinarily invite, etc. So that would be the issue there. And as I mentioned, I don't know if I did mention, but that's why I liked also, because we mentioned last week, or one of the shiur, I'm not sure if it was the Thursday night one, there's a mitzvah of tasting your food on Shabbos. I should say tasting your food before Shabbos. It's Tomet. Why? Because you want to ensure the food tastes well. It has enough salt on it, pepper, so you taste the food. So the question is, what?
The chef,
meaning, or the one, the chef, doesn't have to be a professional chef, me, the one making the food. Yes, in your case, surely, whoever's making the food.
Yes.
So, obviously, all week long, a regular Friday, of course you should taste the food. Why wouldn't you? You want to make sure the food tastes good. The issue is during the 9 days, if there's a prohibition to eat meat, so what about tasting the meat? So which one wins? Is it best to taste the meat or is it best to withhold? So that's a debate. The issue would come. So let me just point out, if you assume you could taste the meat, number one is, tasting, for our purposes here, means tasting and spitting out. All week long, you could taste it and swallow it because there's no problem of eating it. But the tasting would mean you're not allowed to eat during, so no one would say to eat by tasting, I mean, I wouldn't say no one, but we assume generally tasting means tasting and not swallowing. So that would be the question. If one is very machbit every week to taste the food and practically, I need to know so that one can make a strong case that maybe he should continue to take. Else, again, it'll be bittul oneg Shabbos. If the food's no good, it doesn't make any sense, so then I'd say taste it. But if a person never tastes the food, they're just looking for an excuse to have some wings on Friday afternoon, then obviously that wouldn't be appropriate. And that would be the same issue, perhaps, malava malka. If one is makbid every week to have a meat malava malka, okay, so then we could discuss it. Maybe it's appropriate to have a meat malava malka even this week. But if you're not makir, you have it once in a while. This shouldn't be the week you pick it. You know, you shouldn't go out of your way to have a delicacy. You know, those type of issues. So it actually it says if you taste your food on Erev Shabbos, the Talmud says arichas yamim. You get long life. Like, it's a great deal. If I eat my healthy wings, my ribs, not only do I get to taste them, I'm going to get long life, whatever long life means. But what's the connection between arichas yamim and tasting my food? That's what the commentators say. Because what's the killer? Stress is a killer. That's why at Friday night we turn the lights on before Shabbos. Shalom bayis. We want you to be able to see and have a peaceful Shabbos. So therefore, what's the worst thing could happen? Whether it's husband, wife, this food's terrible. It's all burned. Who made this chicken? It's the kugels. So arichas yamim means you don't have stress and you get along and you enjoy your Shabbos meal. That's what it means. Arichas. It's a natural consequence. That's a metaphysical halachic din. If you taste the food and the food is good before Shabbos, you won't be fighting over how bad the food is and who cooked it and who's to blame, and you get to enjoy your Shabbos meal. But moving on, so let's get back to leftovers. So what would be another reason to say leftovers would work? So I'll refer you to a Gemara in Chulin, Dav Yud Zayin. An interesting Gemara in its own right. The Gemara talks about, we could go into this more detail another time, but based on a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, but the Jews apparently weren't able to eat meat on a regular basis with our Shechita until they entered the land of Israel. It's a debate. Everyone agrees once they entered the land of Israel, the laws as we have it today of Shechita, and as long as you kosher the animal, you could eat it. But apparently in the Midbar for 40 years, they didn't have the halachas of Shechita. So what was the halachas? So there's a machlokas in the Gemara between, I think, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael. So one, I think it's Rabbi Yishmael's opinion, but one opinion was, The only time you could eat meat is if you were bringing a carbon to God, so then, okay, you could get some of it also. You couldn't eat basar taiva. You just couldn't eat meat because you wanted to eat it. It had to be in the context of, and that's why the pasuk says, when the Jews lived near the Mishkan, since the Jews no longer lived near the Mishkan when they moved to Israel, hence meat became permitted. So that's what it means. It says because in the Midbar, they only could eat meat that they brought as part of a carbon. And Rabbi Akiva disagrees and says no. But he says there was a difference. In the Midbar, all you had to do was a more easier type of shechita. It wasn't called shechita. It was like you make a hole. Some say you could even eat a dead animal. Others say you had to do a little bit. But the bottom line is you didn't, in other words, the food was treif, in other words, it would be treif now. But it was kosher in the Midbar. And once they entered the land of Israel, they had to do shechita. So either way, they couldn't eat meat before. But according to Rabbi Akiva, they had a more informal way of preparing the meat. You didn't need to go through the whole protocol of shechita. And when they entered the land of Israel, you had to do the protocol of Shechita like we have today. Okay, that's the Gemara. So comes along with, yeah, Jeff.
I'm amazed. Look, isn't one of the seven rules for the nations not to eat from a dead animal?
Eivor Minachai, not to pull up.
Sorry, I'm confused. Sorry, Eivor Minachai, of course, eat from a
right. So comes along with Yirmiyah. He always had good questions. I think Alan Dershowitz writes in one of his books, he says he used to ask Rav Yirmiyah type questions in his Talmud class and get thrown out of class all the time. So Rav Yirmiyah, he went to my high school, by the way, meaning the same one. Not actually, it was a different building, and he was there before me. He's a little older than me. I don't know how old he is. But So he, so Rav Yirmiyah writes the following shaila. He says, let me ask you, I have the following question. Let's say there was leftover meat from the midbar. They couldn't finish. They had a nice big barbecue, whatever they did. They had some leftover ribs, wings, and now they're in the land of Israel. So any new meat, they'd have to slaughter it. The question is, do we do the grandfather clause or not? Do we say that since it was permitted in the midbar, now that they, or do we say no? Since you're in Israel now, you have to, you know, you have to throw the meat out. So the Gemara leaves it as a teiku, unresolved. So commentators are bothered. Like, I don't get it. Do we have, I mean, not during time of the Gemara, even not in me now. What do you mean? Do we have this meat left over from the midbar? Like, who cares? Why are we asking this question? It's an academic question. What's the relevance? There's no halacha l'maisa. We can't find this kind of meat anymore. If you had this meat, why are we asking this question for? So Rashi writes, for a different reason, Rashi says, you're right. It's not practical, but you know why we're asking it? Because drush v'kabel schar. Because many times we find that for the sake of Talmud Torah, in fact, there's a famous discussion among the, I think it was Rav Soloveitchik versus another great scholar. Does it make sense to make up, in other words, a hakira, I mean, is you say, well, it's either this or that, but then you can't give me a practical difference to it. So Rav Soloveitchik says, if you're just giving two sides and there's no difference, you're just philosophy be alma, like you're wasting my time. And you need a nafgamina to make it real. Others say no. You don't need to make a... The fact I understand the topic better, that's good enough. So either way, that's a debate. So the question is, so according to Rashi, there is no halacha l'maisa, but why not? You know, let's try to understand this topic more. You know, academic. It's just an academic exercise. You know, you do a crossword puzzle, it's an academic exercise. However, the Rush says no. Of course, there is a very practical question. We have to know the answer to this question. Why did the Rush have meat left over from the midbar? No, he did not. So why did he think it was a practical question? Because he says, because if we get the principle here, I can apply it to something that is practical. What was his case? His case was originally, you know, all milk and cheese were kosher. Anything from a kosher animal, you know, anything, if it was kosher ingredients, it was kosher. Even if it was produced by a non-Jew. At a certain time in Jewish history, they put a prohibition on gvinas akum, that the Jew has to be involved in the cheese process. Even if the ingredients are 100% kosher, but if there's no Jew involved, you know, there's a lot of more details. I'm just oversimplifying. So then you can't eat it. So the question is, let's assume we lived in the time where the rabbis were going to make the decree. So let's say the rabbi said, August 1st, 2020, you can no longer eat this cheese. It's kosher now, but so let's say it came August 1st, August 2nd. I have a 5-pound bag of Miller cheese. Could I eat? Do I have to throw it out or could I eat it? So the Rush says, I have to know. He says, this question in the Gemara is relevant to my question. So the Rush says like this. So the Gemara left it in doubt. So what is the halacha? So we know we have a principle we're well aware of. A doubt regarding a biblical law was strict on. A doubt regarding a rabbinic law was lenient on. So the case of the treif food in the midbar, that's a biblical law. If I'm wrong, I'm eating treif. So therefore, I can't eat it. Okay, it's a biblical doubt, I have to be strict. But gvinas akum, but not eating cheese, which was kosher, and the rabbis say it's not kosher, not because of the ingredients, that's only a rabbinical prohibition. So it's a doubt on a rabbinic law. What's the principle? Safek derabbanan lakula. A doubt regarding a rabbinic law is lenient. So therefore, the Rush says, I can't eat the leftover meat, but I can't eat the leftover rabbinic prohibited cheese. You got it? You follow so far?
Yes.
Comes along the Chida. The Chida, he's the one who says you can eat meat on Rosh Chodesh Av. He says it doesn't start to the next day. So you're going to like the Chida because he says you can eat meat on Rosh Chodesh Av, and he's also going to help you on the back end. He's going to tell you you can eat leftovers. The Chida says you're allowed to eat leftovers. How do I know? Based on the Rush I just quoted you. He said if the Rush says we're not sure, leftover cheese, which is a rabbinic decree, Safek derabbanan lakula, eating meat, it's only a custom. It's not even a rabbinic decree. So if I'm lenient by the Gvinas Akum, how much more so I should be lenient by this minig? And he says, go for it. One is permitted to eat leftovers during the 9 days. Leftovers from Shabbos, leftovers from Sudas Mitzvah. Knock yourself out on leftovers. That's why I always tell people, if they're going to, let's assume they have to eat, or at least there's a question. I said, you might as well eat leftovers because you're ready. As I got a question today from someone who, he has iron deficiency and he takes, I guess, injections and he needs to have meat. Or I don't know, the question is how much does he need it or not? But he asked me, could he eat the left? So I said, if it's a real sakana, of course you could eat the meat. There's nothing to talk about. I'm saying you could probably cook regular meat, but you might, if you have leftover meat from your suda yesterday, you might as well eat the meat because you have the chida to rely on. It's another thing to rely on. So all things being equal, I tell people who are going to have chicken or meat, you might as well eat the leftovers because then you have a svek. You have two reasons why you could be lenient. So that's the chida. Seems like a very cogent argument that it shouldn't be any worse than Gvina's Akum. And so that's the question, is how come we don't follow the chida? That's not the normative halacha. The normative halacha is we don't eat leftovers. We can't eat leftover meat or chicken from the students. But why? The chida seems to have a strong argument. So what do we don't just say, well, it's magic, we're just not going to listen to him. Well, how would we refute his argument that it's different? How is leftover meat during the 9 days different than leftover cheese with the Gvinas Akum? So perhaps there could be a couple of things. Number one is, when they said Gvinas Akum is prohibited, let's say August 1st, 2020, that's it. Once August, you know, it could be maybe another basin will come along, you know, 100 years from now and change it. But bottom line is, once they make the change, that's it. It's never becoming mutter again. However, in the case of the 9 days, if I wait to after Tisha B'Av, again, assuming you have refrigeration and freezer, so then I can eat it. So therefore, we have a principle in the Talmud that it's called the Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. There's a principle. Generally, we apply the principle of bittul, nullification. However, when does nullification... See, nullification means it's a bidyavid. If something fell in, we nullify it. But you can't lichatchila pour milk into your chicken soup, a small amount. So the point is, if it fell in, it's good. So when do we rely on nullification? Once the milk's in the chicken soup, it's never going to become mutter. So we rely on bittul and it's kosher. But in the case where something's have become permitted, let's say chametz on Pesach. If you wait to after Pesach, it's mutter. So why rely on bittul if you could eat it beheter later? It's the same thing here. By the gvinas, by the cheese, there is no tomorrow. It's never going to be good. So then, sarvek drabban and lakula. But in the case of the 9 days, After Tisha B'Av, after Chatzos, you could eat the meat again. So therefore, why rely on bitter? That's one argument against the Chida. And secondly, perhaps you could say something else. That when it came to, it gets into, you know, this is a debate, but one could argue this. In other words, when it comes to Gvinas Akum, so then if you want to argue, the Chefsa now becomes, rabbinically speaking, the rabbis say this cheese is no longer kosher. You know, biblically maybe it's, you know, you get into it, but on a rabbinic level, they made it a Chefsa Shel Isser. They said this cheese is non-kosher, or be rabbinically. So therefore, I want to eat it now before it takes on the chefsa, so it's never going to change. However, when it comes to the 9 days, they didn't say this meat is prohibited rabbinically. They said, I can't eat meat during this period. It's too much simcha, but there's nothing wrong. The meat never became non-kosher. They never touched the meat or chicken. So therefore, when it comes to the cheese, that's going to become a chefsa shoister. So then we say, let's eat it now before, but the meat never became prohibited. It was, I can't eat the meat. And therefore, perhaps those are some differences. So the bottom line is, our custom is not to rely on the chida. So I just say, what in cases of sveika or cases of a chole, someone who has to eat, so then you might as well try to get leftovers. But if not, then you'll eat, for those people, you're even allowed to eat the non-leftovers. So to summarize, so we discussed the issue of not having meat and wine during the 9 days, specifically meat, and we said we discussed tasting the food before Shabbos, Aricha Shem, and therefore you're not fighting with each other over the food being burnt. We said the issue of why would you eat leftovers? So that would be because you were afraid you're not going to make enough food, and then you'll nullify your mitzvah. But based on that, today we're concerned people will make too much leftovers, and that's why we have fridges and freezers. It would make sense, why not? So why does the Chidah say you can eat leftovers? Because he bases on the Gemara in Chulin that case was a doubt, that was a biblical doubt, but the cheese case is only rabbinical. If we permit the leftover cheese, then certainly it's only a custom, we permit the leftover meat. It seems like a powerful argument. We have two arguments against, either because the cheese is never going to become permitted again, but the 9 days, after the 9 days, it becomes for me, it's like a davar sheyeshlo matirin. Why rely on something if you don't have to? And the other reason is maybe the cheese becomes a chefsa shel iser. That rabbinically they said this cheese is no longer kosher, so therefore the object is no good, so the only chance to eat it would be now. But by the 9 days, they never said the foods rabbinically or there's anything wrong with the meat. They just put on me, they said I should not, like the difference between a neder and a shvua. One is going on the object, one is going on me. So that's why the Chidah says, you can eat meat on Rosh Chodesh Av, and you can eat leftovers. This one, it reminded me of a question I got. Rosh Chodesh was Tuesday night.
Wednesday.
Yeah, it was Wednesday, Tuesday night. So someone asked me the Shiloh. Of course, they asked me it on Wednesday, but I gave them my answer anyway. But it wasn't practical anymore because it was already Wednesday. But they asked me. They had the following question. I guess where they daven, because of COVID. They do early Mincha Ma'ariv all week long. They do like we do on Shabbos. They do all week long. So let's say they daven, you know, regular time is like 8:40 and we go, but early would be like 7 o'clock, 7:10. So let's assume a person davens early, you know, Mincha Ma'ariv. So the Shiloh was, he's davening Ma'ariv at 7:15. So he says Yalla v'yavo in his Meir, because that's for Rosh Chodesh. But he wants to go home and eat his meat dinner, because it's not nighttime. The 9 days aren't until the night. So the question is, if he davens Ma'ariv and says Yalla v'yavo, does that mean his restrictions begin right away? And another shaila similar to me is, let's say you make Shabbos early. Could I eat the meat before foremost? So that answer is a yes. Shabbos you certainly can, or whatever, but we paskin yes. And that's because by Shabbos you have a concept of Tosefes Shabbos. So therefore it transforms into the next day. That's a further debate whether it turns into nighttime. So he said he spoke to some people. Some people told him no. Some people said yes. I said what I think is as follows. I think there's room to be lenient, because number one is I think the assumption's a mistake. Is the assumption is that by saying Yalla v'yavo at night at Prag HaMincha, it becomes Rosh Chodesh now. That's the assumption. Again, so I'm not sure that's true. So the question is, what do you mean? So therefore, I agree. It looks funny. You said Yalla v'yavo, and now you're eating meat. That might look funny, but let me ask you something. You mean, and if I didn't say Yalla v'yavo and Meyer v'mayotze? Yeah. So like, it can't be the Yalla v'yavo, because even if I don't say Yalla v'yavo is a din in tefillah. It's not a din in, there's no din of Tosefes Rosh Chodesh. Who says I'm even allowed to, who says it even works? Could I bring in Rosh Chodesh early? Who says there's even a concept of Tosefes Rosh Chodesh? By Shabbos and Yontif, there's Kedushas Hayom. By Rosh Chodesh, it's hard to say there's Kedushas Hayom. I mean, it says Ikdish Vasiyas Malacha, but you know, we don't have any formal Issa Malacha. So to me, I found it's a hard time to say, but I found it difficult to argue that saying Yalla v'yavo, number one, and someone said you should have kavanah. I said, okay. I said, I'm not even sure having kavanah makes, I don't know if having kavanah would, I don't even know if you had kavanah to make a Rosh Chodesh. I don't know if that's any meaningful in its own right, but I agree. You might as well not have kavanah. That definitely can't hurt. And so I didn't think it was a problem. And secondly, I think post can even say, if you started your meal before Rosh Chodesh, and they let you continue through Shkia, Kasavik Durabanan Lakula. So if you started your meal before sunset, they let you eat it during Ben Hashmasha. So I didn't, you know, so I thought there was definitely room to be lenient and it wouldn't be a problem. I guess, you know, I'm not disagreeing. If you had a later Meirav, then why get into, but I don't think you had to go specially not daven Meirav in order. You know, and also there was a reason why you're davening early, because of COVID, they're not davening inside the shuls. It's a safety issue. So you have, you know, many other reasons why I didn't think it was an issue. And of course, it was easy for me to say it because it was Wednesday afternoon when he asked me to Shaila. But I said, yeah, I think you could have had the. He ended up eating davening Meirav later and ate. But you know, I didn't think he would have. I don't think he had to. But I haven't actually seen. You know, Sarach Iyun, this is this Shikol Hadas. I'm saying what I think in my head without seeing any source, you know, anyone writing on it. You know, it could use more discussion, but based on everything that came to my head, I don't think it's a problem. You follow or not?
Yes.
Yeah. It's an Isser Chefsa versus an Isser Gavra.
It's
called a Gavra. Yeah, because I can't eat the, but there's not, if someone ate the meat, there's nothing wrong with the meat. It's, let's say someone who, Araya, the same meat for a Sudas mitzvah you could eat, or someone who's sick and has to eat meat. But no one could eat that meat. That cheese is rabbinically prohibited. That's the difference, yeah.
Right.
Very good. The important thing is to keep in touch.